Hello, this is Terry Burdick reading to you today from the Commercial Daily News, the weekend edition. This is for May 30th and 31st, reading to you on June 1st. Happy June, everybody. Our front page story today comes with the following headline, Honoring Cornette, 100th Line Procession Route from Champaign. And this comes to us from reporter Christy Jankowski, Dateline Tilton. The community is banding together to bring comfort to Tilton's former police chief's family after his tragic passing while working on road construction. Friday morning, the Tilton Police Department, Tilton Fire, Ambulance Services, Police Works, and multiple surrounding first responder agencies joined together to provide an escort for former Tilton Police Chief Stephen Cornette from Champaign to Tilton. Cornette's employer at the time of his death, Daniel Ribby Trucking, also participated. The procession started around 10:15 a.m. in Champaign with hundreds of flashing lights and a solemn line of support ready to go. Captain Ryan Scholl in the Tilton Police Department said the procession traveled eastbound on Interstate 74 from Urbana and then entered Tilton through the G Street exit, continued east onto 5th Street, north on Lane, east on Ramp Road, and then north on Georgetown Road, east on William Street, until they arrived at the Kruger Funeral Home just after 11 a.m. Carnegie Towing and Repair has expressed its condolences to the Cornette family. They said in a social media post, in part, "Steve was more than a customer to us. Over the years, he became family. He was someone we respected deeply, and his loss is felt throughout our entire team." The towing company reiterates that Tilton Mayor Bill Ware said less than a day following Cornette's passing about how road construction employees are constantly putting their lives on the line. This tragedy is also a heartbreaking reminder of the dangerous roadside crews, construction crews, truck drivers, tow operators, and first responders face every day while simply doing their jobs, they write. Too many lives have been lost because drivers fail to slow down, stay alert, and move over when approaching emergency scenes, work zones, and stopped vehicles along our highways. The Illinois Department of Transportation also released a statement following Cornette's passing from their public information officer, Paul Wappel. "With the heaviest of hearts, our thoughts and deepest sympathies are with the worker's family, friends, and co-workers during this difficult time," Wappel said in part. "If you are driving anywhere in Illinois this construction season, you'll be driving through work zones. Please, when you see orange, slow down, give the road your undivided attention, and stay alert for workers and equipment. You could save a life." In a related story to Mr. Cornette's death, driver arrested in Cornette accident, and this too comes to us from Christy Jankowski. The Illinois State Police have made an arrest in connection with the crash that killed former Tilton Police Chief Stephen Cornette. Officials state in a media release that troopers arrested Quamaine J. Fletcher, age 29, of Whiteville, Tennessee. Fletcher has been charged with one count of reckless homicide in a construction zone, according to online Champaign County court records. Fletcher is said to have hit Cornette with his pickup truck and trailer on Wednesday morning around 3:35 a.m. in a construction zone on the I-74-57 interchange near milepost 179 in the eastbound I-74 lane. Cornette was working as a road construction worker for Daniel Ribby Trucking, Inc. when he was struck. Fletcher was taken to a local hospital with injuries following the crash and then taken into custody upon his release. The fatal crash is being investigated by the ISP Division of Criminal Investigation Zone 5, and the ISP Traffic Crash Reconstruction Unit has assisted. At this time, ISP said there is no further information for them to give to the public. Champaign County court records indicate Fletcher was in court Thursday, and according to records, he was released on pretrial release. His next court date will take place at 2 p.m. on Friday, June 26th, in Courtroom K at the Champaign County Courthouse. On Friday morning, there was a procession beginning in Champaign, leading Cornette to the Kruger Funeral Home in Tilton, where hundreds lined up to pay their respects. Continuing with our front page news, Goodwin and Savage Bryant terminated at DAC, again by reporter Christy Jankowski. The Danville Area Community College Board of Trustees has officially terminated two employees and accepted the resignation of a third. Former DAC President Stephen Naco said the room was once again packed for the College Board of Trustees meeting, in which both Dr. Terry Goodwin, who was Dean of the Adult Education Department, and Chantal Savage Bryant, who had been dean of the Adult Education Department, and Chantal Savage Bryant, its director of Adult Education Services, were officially let go. NACO recalled during the meeting when Goodwin spoke. Terry said that when he asked to help with the review, Fletcher told him, "Get out of the way," NACO stated. According to NACO, Goodwin requested, "I respectfully request that before you make a decision about my employment at the college, you defer until the investigation is completed." NAACP President Ed Butler, as well as Alderman in Danville and Three Kings of Peace mentor, called out Fletcher during the meeting. NACO said Butler charged Fletcher with tearing down the good relationship between the African-American community and the college. NACO added that the meeting was quite loud until the end, when the Board of Trustees came out of executive session to terminate Goodwin, Savage Bryant, and accept the resignation of Bridges. Following the contentious meeting, the DAC Board of Trustees released a statement regarding the termination and the ongoing investigation with the Illinois Community College Board. In October 2025, during the review of grant budgets and performance reports in the Danville Area Community College's Adult Education and Literacy Department, the college administration discovered discrepancies in fund disbursement and elevated performance outcomes with respect to funding received by the department through the Innovation Bridge and Transition Grant. The statement said, President Randall Fletcher, along with the college's executive leadership team, conducted a six-month internal investigation into these anomalies, which included the alleged falsification of test scores and grant performance reports, and the alleged disbursement of funds to pay for the instruction of courses that either did not exist, existed but had no student enrollment, or were not allowable by the IBT grant terms. The statement went on to say the board informed the ICCB immediately following the discovery and says the ICCB's executive director, Brian Durham, notified DAC that he would conduct an investigation. This information was already given to the public in a statement back in April. At the end of the statement, it says the college has no further comment on this matter. NACO said about these decisions, "I'm very sad for the college. At the same time, I am proud of seeing hundreds of community members come out once again to hold Fletcher accountable for his lack of civility and his wanton disregard for equity and due process." Turning our attention to events coming up in our community, the War Museum hosts Medal of Honor program. This is a staff report. The original Medal of Honor awarded to General John Charles Black of Danville will be on display at the War Museum at 307 North Vermilion in Danville. Black's Medal of Honor will be part of the first Saturday presentation at the War Museum beginning at 1 p.m. on Saturday, June 6th. Black and his brother William were among only five sets of brothers who received the Medal of Honor for their service in the Civil War. Museum President and Executive Director Larry Weatherford will be joined by historians Michael Eberhardt and Tim Smith in talking about the Medal of Honor and the Black brothers' service in the Civil War. Additionally, the Black's great-granddaughter Abby Marsh will be on hand to meet and to answer any questions. There is also an exhibit honoring the brothers as part of the museum's Medal of Honor Hall, which has stories and displays about each of the 12 Medal of Honor recipients with ties to Vermilion County. Visitors will also be able to see the Medal of Honor awarded posthumously to Marine Major Kenneth D. Bailey in World War II. The Bailey Medal is on permanent display at the War Museum. Each attendee will receive a free brochure spotlighting each of the 12 recipients. John Charles Black is also honored in the museum's Grand Army of the Republic display. Other memorabilia will be the 37th Illinois Infantry, and the Black family will be on display. A reception with light refreshments will follow the program. Admission is free on first Saturday. The programs are presented each month to spotlight local history during the country's 200th and the nation's 250th birthday. In more local news, road closures planned for the Artisan Summer Luau. The City of Danville announced earlier this week that a portion of West North Street from North Vermilion to the alley behind Temple Plaza along North Vermilion from North Street to the median at 112 North Vermilion will be closed from noon to 8:30 p.m. on Friday, June 5th for the Artisan Summer Luau, scheduled for 5 to 8 p.m. at Temple Plaza. According to a news release, this year, they're combining the summer fun and relaxation of the classic summer luau with the mouth-watering artisan table. Indulge in a carefully curated tropical menu and enjoy refreshing mocktails crafted to pair perfectly with the menu. This is a complete evening of dinner and entertainment, all in downtown Danville. At Temple Plaza, you can enjoy the tropical sounds of live steel drum music by Circle City Steel. Quench your thirst with one of the refreshing drinks from Exotic Pina to Go while you browse vendor booths and local shops as you soak up the evening sun. Make it a complete night out by visiting the Fisher Theater for a showing of Jaws on the big screen for only $5. No tickets necessary for the live music. You can purchase tickets for the dinner online. The $25 dinner ticket includes sides of fluffy coconut jasmine rice, tropical fruit salad with fresh watermelon, cantaloupe, honeydew, strawberries, grapes, and kiwi served in a carved fruit bowl, fresh made salsa with pineapple, mango, red bell pepper, red onion, cilantro, and jalapeno served in a half pineapple shell. For entrees, Kahlua pork sliders, smoky slow roasted pork stacked on soft Hawaiian sweet rolls with grilled pineapple chicken skewers. And drinks, enjoy specially crafted mocktails created by Vermilion River Beer Company's very own Kenny Heckler. Each tropical drink recipe was designed with the menu in mind to pair perfectly with your meal. Don't miss this fun and festive kickoff to summer at the First Friday Summer Luau from 5 to 8 p.m. on Friday, June 5th. For more information and reservations, you can contact Macy Davis, the Community Relations Coordinator, at 217-431-2317. In other area news, Cayuga residents are concerned about a proposed data center. This too comes to us from Christy Jankowski and with the Dateline Cayuga, Indiana. Wherever you're online, there is chatter, either for or against data centers, and there are several locales in Cayuga who are against the plan, or several locals, I'm sorry, in Cayuga who are against the plans of Vermilion Rise. On Monday, there'll be a meeting at the Cayuga Community Center at 6 p.m. Eastern with the Newport Chemical Depot Reuse Authority and the Vermilion Rise Mega Park. The meeting was originally scheduled for May 27th and was canceled the day of the meeting. A move, Kimberly Ratcliffe, a community member against the proposal, says, upset quite a few people. I ended up in tears last night when I got there, Ratcliffe said about speaking up at the commissioner's meeting. I'm not good at public speaking, but I got choked up, and I made other people cry, and I've heard all the emotions. She says that they likely rescheduled, in her opinion, because the meeting held earlier that week, which County Commissioner R.J. Donovan called together, ending in shouting with another commissioner and audience members. A different commissioner got up and basically said, we, those against the data center, were trying to spread fear and misinformation, and so he left the podium being shouted down, Ratcliffe says. She also added that she saw Vermilion Rise board members at the meeting, Dunawan organized, and thinks that is why they rescheduled. Despite that cancellation, around 10 to 15 people gathered in protest. Ratcliffe says they plan to protest again this weekend. There was also supposed to be a meeting with the Vermilion County Board of Commissioners on Monday at the same time. Due to the large public interest in attending the meeting concerning a proposed data center in Cayuga, the county commissioners have rescheduled their meeting to 6 p.m. on Monday, June 15th. Ratcliffe says she lives incredibly close to the proposed site, close enough to the center that she can see the building complex from her house. I can see the fence line, she said, from her front yard. We have like 300 acres here. And for Ratcliffe, her home is more than just a place to live. I've raised four kids here, she said. My husband's great-grandfather built this house in 1918. It's been in the family ever since, besides during World War II, when eminent domain kicked them out so that the generals and sergeants could live here during the war since it was close to the ammunition plant. Ratcliffe claims the site could impact endangered animals in the area, as she says there are endangered bats amongst other wildlife. I don't know, it's just so upsetting, Ratcliffe said. We have other endangered species in the area, but I know that one is the one that has really caused some pain in construction on things. Ratcliffe said there is now a group formed on Facebook with almost 400 people against the proposed data center. She has also formed a petition gathering 59 signatures as of late Friday afternoon. The petition is asking local officials to review in regards to land usage throughout the county to ensure rigorous safeguards are in place to protect citizens against energy exploitation and unsustainable water consumption and pollution, including light and noise, by any AI or other type of data center, crypto mining farm, or other industrial entities. Vermilion Rise was contacted by email and phone with messages left, and no response was received by the time of publication. Previously, the Newport Chemical Depot Reuse Authority met at the Cayuga Community Center for a public hearing on April 16th. On their website, they say the public hearing was regarding for the purpose of conducting a public hearing regarding an amendment of the reuse plan to add two tracts of property to the Newport Chemical Depot Military Base Reuse Area and to consider such amendment. We've come to the middle of our time together today, so let's take a look at the death notices that were received by 5 p.m. Friday. There are three today. From Danville, Marilyn Camp, age 94, passed away peacefully on May 20th, surrounded by family. There are no details for services at this time. Priscilla Briones Yabines, and I'm sorry if I've mispronounced this, age 94, passed away at 11:08 p.m. on Wednesday, May 27th, at Goldwater Care of Danville. Her visitation will be from 10 to 11 a.m. on Saturday, June 6th, at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Danville. The service will be at 11 a.m. on Saturday at the funeral home, with Pastor Ken Cameron officiating, and her burial will be at Sunset Memorial Park. And our final death notice today, Jack Odell Odie Estes, age 79, passed away on May 15th in Sun City, Arizona. His celebration of life will be from 2 to 5 p.m. on June 28th at the Sparrow Restaurant in Peoria, Arizona. And that concludes the readings of today's death notices. Let's take a look at our editorial pages today. With our main editorial, Balloons Provide 10 Years of Happy. Balloons Over Vermilion will celebrate its 10th anniversary June 5th and 6th at a new location, Kennecott County Park, and additional attractions to entertain visitors. Tracing its roots to the former Danville Balloon Classic, the event raises money to support youth programs throughout Vermilion County. Earlier this year, representatives presented more than $180,000 in grants, proceeds from the balloon event, as well as the annual Festival of Trees celebration. In total, the group has provided $865,000 to local groups. A dedicated group of volunteers have helped plan the two festivals each year, and many other volunteers step up to help the events run smoothly. Those interested in volunteering should visit the Balloons Over Vermilion website. The Julius W. Hegeler II Foundation provides major support to the event, along with dozens of other organizations, businesses, and individuals who provide monetary and in-kind contributions. This year's Balloons Over Vermilion moves from its traditional site at Vermilion Regional Airport to Kennecott County Park, just west of Danville. Full information on admission fees and hours of operation is on the group's website. This year's event will feature more than 30 hot air balloons, which, weather permitting, will sail over Vermilion County each evening at 6:30 p.m., along with a community flight at 6:30 a.m. on June 6th. The schedule includes two new features this year. A kite demonstration will fly from 3 to 6 p.m. Friday and Saturday, and a lighted drone exhibition will begin at 9:30 each night. The festival closes at 10 p.m. nightly. Weather determines whether the main attraction, the huge colorful balloons, can put on a full show, but there are many other things visitors can enjoy, such as music, food, a balloon school at 4 p.m. June 6th, where participants can learn how the balloons actually fly, and tethered balloon rides from 7 to 9:30 p.m. each night for $15 a person. The free Kids Zone will also be open from 3 to 10 p.m. both days. Children can enjoy soccer, crafts, joyful bubbles, touch a truck, and lawn games. Additional tickets will be required for the inflatables, a zip line, a rock wall, and an air jump. The event kicks off June 4th with Splash and Dash at the Boat Club on Lake Vermilion, which will feature 10 balloons over the lake. Admission will be $10 per adult, with children 10 and younger admitted free. In addition to the balloon display, music, a children's play area, and food will be available. The volunteers who dedicate countless hours to planning Balloons Over Vermilion deserve tons of appreciation for tackling such a large event and for providing so much support for local youth groups. These volunteers step up to create something positive for Vermilion County when so many other residents find it easier to just sit back and complain. Balloons Over Vermilion provides a unique, positive experience for its audience. Everyone should cross their fingers in the hopes of good weather so the skies can fill with color and wonder. Make it a point to visit this year's festival. Well, the school year really is winding down quickly, And so let's take a look at what's going on in prep sports. As always, I will try my best to pronounce everyone's names appropriately, but I appreciate that you extend grace when I do not. The first headline today, cruising to the victory. And just for clarity, that's cruising as in C-R-U-Z-I-N-G to the victory. You'll find out in just a moment why. This comes to us from reporter Marvin Holman. Blue Devils find a way to regional final. Dateline Bismarck. Cruz Dubois didn't want his career to end, and he had a chance to do that on Thursday. The Bismarck Henning Rossville Alvin Sr. was able to come in the sixth inning and get the save to finish a wild 7-6 win over Paris in an IHSA Class 2A regional. Liam Parrish battled strong and pitched five innings for us. Then Reed Zarate came in and pitched good, so I knew I had to come on and hold them to six, Dubois said. The Blue Devils had just retaken the lead when Dubois scored on a ground out by his cousin Drew Dubois. BHRA started the game in almost the same way as Cruz Dubois scored on a bunt by Drew Dubois in the top of the first inning. But in the bottom of the first, the Tigers took advantage of errors and the mishandling of a dropped third strike to get the 4-1 lead. BHRA would fight back in the second, loading the bases before Chaz Dubois singled in Landon Packard. Dayton Dubois walked to drive in a run. Drew Dubois would hit a ground ball and reached on an error to bring in Jaden Peters. Jackson Spicer walked to bring in another run, and Chase Warren grounded into a fielder's choice to score the last run of the evening. Parrish was the starter and held the Tigers scoreless in the second and third innings, but Parrish scored two in the fourth to tie things up. This is how we've done it this season, BHRA coach Mark Dodd said. We put ourselves in a bad position and we battle back. It's not like we don't have talent. It is just baseball experience is still needed. Liam did a great job battling through. He wasn't at his best today, but he battled through bad defense and some wildness. Zarate came in the fifth to shut out the Tigers and would get the first out of the sixth before Cruz Dubois came in. I thought Reed saved the game for us in getting those four outs, Dodd said. Cruz was not stretched out for a long period, and he's our closer. So once he got the three outs in the fifth and the number nine hitter in the sixth, it made sense to bring Cruz in for the top of the order. The Blue Devils have won eight of its nine last games, and the overachievement by the young team is what Dodd likes. We do just enough, hats off to them, because they have overachieved so much, Dodd said. They are co-champs of the VVC, and who would have guessed that? We've been battling long enough to stick around to get a chance to win. Cruz is an elite player, and he's carried us. Cruz has also been helped by brother Dayton and cousin Drew during the season, giving him a scenario he thought he would not see. It's been really fun because I never really played with them. I just watched them grow up, Cruz Dubois said, so it's been great playing with them. BHRA is 19-9 and will face St. Joe Ogden at 11 o'clock on Saturday in the regional final. For those of you following this team, you already know the outcome. I do not, so we'll have to wait till tomorrow's paper to learn together. But our best wishes to the Blue Devils and really to the Dubois family. There's a lot of players that are related to each other on that team. Best wishes. In more high school sports, Jackson and Jones make the finals for Danville. This too comes to us from Marvin Holman. Dateline Charleston. With three prelims on the plate on Friday, Danville DeMario Jackson set to claim three medals today at the IHSA Class 2A State Track Meet. Jackson won the 100 in a time of 10.59 seconds and the 400 in a time of 48.59 and took second in the 200 with a time of 21.73. I thought he looked pretty good. He was warmed up and ready to go and took care of his body and recovered for his races, Danville head coach Tyler Arnold said. DeMario can do it. He just has to recover right. The time between events and getting into check-ins is one thing Arnold is worried about, but he's assured that Jackson can more than handle everything tomorrow. After the 100, the check-in for the 400 started 30 minutes after, and after the 400, the check-in for the 200 was 35 minutes, Arnold said, so he didn't have that much time to shake things out and recover. But he made it happen, and he's ready for tomorrow. He took an ice bath in the hotel, and he feels pretty good right now. Jackson will not be the only Viking in a final, as senior Victor Jones made the high jump final with a 1.90 attempt. It was awesome, Arnold said. In his freshman year, he no-heighted. Last year, he caught the bar, and this year, he's going to the finals. Now you can see his experience come into play because he knew just how to adjust and knew what was right and wrong, so it was very good. Junior Alante Anderson ran the 100 prelim, but fell short of qualifying with a time of 11.14. He ran well, but other people have better days, and that's how it is at state, Arnold said. He was ready to roll, but it wasn't his day. He ran hard and represented Danville well. Jackson and Jones will not be the only local representatives today. In the Class 1A meet, the Bismarck-Henning-Rossville-Alvin track team will be represented in the 400 relay, where Dylan Davis, Mason Cunningham, Isaac Cahill, and Gavin High were third in 42.93 in the 800 relay, where the same group took sixth in 1.29. Vince Lane will compete in discus, while Connor Powell will compete in shot put. Salt Fork will have Maddox Stein in the discus final, while Xander Swanson and Eli Ruffett made the 110 hurdles. Oakwood's Lucas Tyus will compete in the 400 final. Westville's Easton Bolin will be in the long jump final. Georgetown Ridge Farms' Chrisman's William Runyon will be in the high jump final, while Aiden Morgan will be in the 3200, and Owen Garrett will represent Hoopston area in the 3200. Best of wishes to all of our athletes. The Danville Dans are also in action. Dans rally to round up Rex. This comes to us from Marvin Holman. In the second home game for the Danville Dans, they once again used great pitching and just enough offense to get the win. The pitching staff gave up two hits and had 13 strikeouts in a 2-1 win over the Terre Haute Rex on Thursday at Danville Stadium. It's a huge credit to those guys. They found a way to win, Danville manager Cam Gross said. A huge shout out to our pitchers for giving up two hits and just one run. Also one to Carson Brady for getting both of our runs for us. That is why I'm a big fan of his, and that is why you get him on your team. Brady hit a home run in the second inning off Terre Haute's Gene Gazzetta and would draw a walk with the bases loaded to bring in Josiah Sims in the bottom of the eighth. I was going in looking for a certain pitch. He was throwing fastballs in the first inning, so I looked for a fastball, and he was able to get a good swing on it, Brady said. Going from swinging first pitch to working a walk is a different kind of at-bat, but I had an approach, and I was glad to get a win. The pitching had a great start with Hudson Roberts. The pitcher from Crowley College gave up only one hit in five innings and had 10 strikeouts. I felt good today, Roberts said. It was my first start in over a year because I had been relieving in college because they didn't want to burn me out. I was trying to keep my pitch count around 60, and it felt good. Well, we've got a whole summer, Danville Dans. We're looking forward to see what you can do. In our local roundup, let's take a look to see what else is going on in some of these other games. Salt Fork gets past Oakwood. The Salt Fork baseball team set their sights on an IHSA Class 1 regional title on Thursday by defeating Oakwood 4-2 in a semifinal. It was Monticello 11, Westville 2. After the Sages broke a 2-2 tie in the fourth with 9 runs in the sixth to eliminate the Tigers in an IHSA 2A regional semifinal. Fountain Central 7, Faith Christian 0. North Montgomery 12, Seeger 4. And in prep softball, Riverton Park 3, Covington 2, and Western Boone 5, Seeger 1. Well, we are winding up our time together today. Let's take a look at the weather. I have to admit it's been really lovely out, but man, I think we need some rain. Let's see what the week holds. After a beautiful weekend, it looks like we've got some more beautiful days ahead of us. Monday, high of 84, low of 56, periods of clouds and sunshine. Tuesday, plenty of sunshine, high of 83 with a low of 54. On Wednesday, we're 80 degrees with sunshine and a few clouds with a low of 55. And on Thursday, more clouds and sun. Oh, flip that around, more sun than clouds. On Thursday, with a high of 82 and a low of 65. Friday, it looks like mostly cloudy, but they're not telling us what's going on for that weekend quite yet. Friday will be 82. So pretty much low 80s and the low 80s all week. Lots of sunshine around and pretty moderate temperatures on the overnight. I can't say we can complain as we welcome June. I also noticed that we just got past our full moon last week and it was kind of a weird one here. So maybe we can blame that on the moon. This has been Terry Burdick reading to you from today's commercial news. I look forward to reading again with you soon. I hope you all have a wonderful week and stay cool.